This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, hope and growth. I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri. We're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in.
Kia ora, welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Anytime Fitness in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri, and we're both peer supporters and team members at Life Matters, and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing, and lived experience.
It was close, but not quite.
Yeah.
Yeah. We said last time that we would fix that, but we haven't.
We haven't, but we improved and we move.
Yeah, and no one would have noticed if we didn't call it out.
Mm-hmm. But I think a big part of intentional peer support is naming. So let's name things and let's bring things to the forefront.
Okay.
Today, very exciting. We have Jess joining us today, who is a student and also works and is a student assistant at the Arcadia Abroad program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you for coming on. Yeah, would you like to introduce yourself, Jess?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jess. I'm a student here at Otago Uni, and I also work for the Arcadia Abroad program, which is a US-based organisation who helps American exchange students with their abroad experience here in New Zealand.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I believe more than just New Zealand
as
well.
Yes, it is international. Yeah. We're an international organisation, so there's Australia, there's Ireland, there's some amazing places to travel, which is pretty cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So, yeah, before we jump in with some questions, our guests leave a question for the next guest.
Okay.
And so you were left a question by Fact Beast.
Okay.
Because if you don't read, this is going to be awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, fingers crossed.
I count audiobooks as reading as well.
Okay.
Yeah. What book are you reading right now? And, yeah, what book are you reading right now?
Okay. Well, I don't do a whole lot of reading when I'm at uni. I do have to be honest. The textbooks kind of take over. But I was most recently reading this book called Love Stories. I've forgotten the author's name, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But Love Stories is a book where it's like lots of short anecdotes about how people have experienced love. And the author sat in like a city, I forgot what Australian city, but he just sat with a typewriter and people came up to him and explained what love meant to them. So it's
very cool.
Friendship, romance, all these things, but very, very cool. It's been good so far.
Very
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. That's great.
All that world building. Sorry, Anna and I just made eye contact and Anna took a breath in. That's what she was going to say something and then nothing came out.
And in the sake of transparency, I've had a really long day.
You have.
I don't know about you, Jess.
Yeah,
but despite it being a short week, everything has been packed into the three days that me and Omri have been at work. So I'm just hanging on by a thread, but the good news is it's a holiday tomorrow.
Yay.
Great.
Yeah. Sleep-ins are in order.
Exactly. Yeah. What we've got is we've got some questions that we've kind of pondered, and we would love to ask you to explore a bit about who you are, but also what you do. Mm. I guess firstly, what is Arcadia Abroad?
Yeah, so Arcadia Abroad is an international organization. They're actually a university in the US, but they help support American students with their semesters abroad. So we help prep them with just general support, but also taking them on cool trips. Mm. We go to Queenstown, I fly up to Auckland, and really it's just it's an organization that helps support them through their semester abroad. Yeah.
Amazing.
Very cool. And how did you get into the student assistant role?
Well, good old student job search.
It was such
a random thing that it got sprung onto me, and I was like, oh, this seems cool. I'm a social work student, so my main kind of thought process there was it would help me learn to engage with people in a different way. So I applied, did an interview, got accepted, and then a couple of weeks later I was sprung into my first group of students because it's kind of a semester-by-semester thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I fell on the role. A lot of my friends are very jealous that I just found it like that. But
I imagine they're kind of hot property roles.
Yes, 100%. And it's a really unique one because you can only be – I'm a SEA, a student experience assistant. That's my job role.
Mm-hmm.
So – you can only do them if you're studying at a particular university that those students are going to. So it's a really nice kind of job because it's so centered in who I am and what stage of life I'm in. So yeah, it's really cool. Mm.
What does your role involve?
Yeah, so I send out newsletters to the students, kind of talking about things to do in Dunedin, advice from a Dunedin student.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And really how I see my role is I'm the ears and eyes to a regular student experience at that university. Because I can imagine if you're an international student coming into a space, you don't really know what the genuine experience is as a student. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of the one who relays that information.
Nice.
I also go on trips and I support the students in any facet that they need. So if they need help, if they want to reach out, that I'll be there to help support them.
Nice. Yeah. And I think as well, you know, country to country, culture around university is different.
Mm.
And as well, I think even in New Zealand, city to city,
100%,
university culture is different. What influenced you to study at Otago?
Well, I think everyone, like the Otago culture is very strong. So that definitely influenced me, knowing that there's a strong community already built. And my dad went to Otago University.
Nice.
So, I mean, he sung its praises, even though it was probably 30 years ago that he was here, but he still said it was a great time. And some of my extended family live down south, so I've been in the Otago region quite a few times. So I felt like it just drew to me. Shake it up. I'm originally from Wellington, so being in a different city felt right for a big change in life. Yeah.
And this marketing campaign might be before both your times, but it's about taking your place in the world.
I have no idea what that reference is.
Yeah, it was an Otago Uni campaign. They had ads, they had songs for it, and it was all about taking your place in the world, and Otago was the place.
Okay, well, that's what I'm doing.
Happened.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I guess there's probably, like as said, city to city, the culture can be quite different. I guess you may have felt a lot of the things that the international students may be feeling moving somewhere new and kind of experiencing a different world.
100%. I think that it was definitely something that me and my friends chatted about a lot in our first year, as we all came from different places and sharing experiences in New Zealand and which places we came from, rural, cities, all of those things. South Island, North Island, there's everything to chat about. And I think that's something that really drew me to the role, but also like a lot of kind of feelings came up where I was like, oh, I really want to help support these people that may be feeling this kind of like alien what's happening, as simple as like slang that people use or how people chat or how quickly we speak can be hard. And having someone that's instantly there, I felt like would be such an amazing privilege, but also something that I feel like I would love if I was going abroad. Just someone to be like, you're a local. Is this a silly question? Can I just ask this? Okay, cool. Now it's clarified. I can go on. Like that's the person I want to be. Yeah.
That's very cool. And I think as well, to clarify, like Arcadia University is based in Pennsylvania, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
But then the Arcadia Abroad program is across the states.
Yes, absolutely. So it's not all the same people from university. That's also the thing. We're bringing all these people from different places, different universities together. So that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. And I guess as well, as you said before, you do lots of traveling with this job from Queenstown up to Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fit that all into your study schedule?
Yeah, it definitely can be intense. Things like our Queenstown trip, it's about 3 days, which I'm there. But it's also super fun. So I think that when it comes to juggling those types of trips and experiences, I think a lot of it comes from mindset, that coming out of it with like a sense of privilege and happiness and excitement can really change your frame of mind and make you feel excited rather than stressed. Focusing on the I can do this later, this right now is super fun is definitely how I like to tackle things.
Yeah.
I do have to admit I'm a bit of a procrastinator, so sometimes it doesn't feel too stressful in the moment because I do usually leave things last minute. But I think juggling quite a heavy workload at times is about that mindset of right now this is super exciting. It's so exciting that I get to go on these trips for my job. It's so exciting that I get to meet these new people in this setting. And that really takes the stress away because I'm coming at it from this exciting new experience angle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I'm wondering, you said exciting new experience. How long have you been in the role?
So I've been in the role for this is my second semester. So we do the same trips each semester. So this is my second time doing everything and experience everything. So I'm about like just over 6 months in the role. Nice. So I've been here a little bit, but it's still somewhat fresh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been kind of, I'm less of a newbie, but, yeah, there's definitely still some things to experience. Yeah. And
I imagine you've got people who have been doing it for a long time and people who are just new and fresh.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It was so great having people who'd had the experience before, mm-hmm. all that advice and people to lean on. The other SEA student experience assistants from across the country, we all became really good friends in the first semester. Cool. So we had people to be like, oh, hey, this is happening. What do you think about this? And my leaders and the people above me are incredibly supportive and lovely, especially about kind of that experience. They always tap in about how's your schoolwork going? Mm-hmm. Cool. How's your workload? And that creates a very supportive environment if I do feel like life's busy and just communicating that. It's not a good or bad thing. It's just communicating, I'm really swamped. This is really busy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great environment to be in, especially with student jobs. I can definitely know that they're so stressful when it comes to shifts and hours and having a job where I can just communicate that life's a bit busy at the moment and what's happening is so great.
Yeah. I guess does the, I got a lot of questions. Does the workload, because I can imagine as you come up to, I assume you do placements and stuff, but also exams and whatnot. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of navigate that balance? Because I assume it changes over time.
Yeah. Well, the busiest part season for us is at the start, which is great. But when it does get busy, it's kind of, well, first of all, it's just communication. I think communicating a lot with your peers, but also the people I am supporting, even in simple conversation, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, but you must be too. And it's kind of understanding that we're all on the same page. I'm supporting people of the same age as me. So going through similar exams, going through similar changes and experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think being honest and open in that relationship can be super helpful. Mm-hmm. And it's also just kind of planning out my time. I know that's the most basic answer that probably your parents would tell you. It's like, have a calendar. And you're like, oh, I don't need one. But I think that I've really found help in like writing out my life, planning it thoroughly, especially with like what's due, what's work-based, social life, and making sure all of those parts are even and like well-distributed and really prioritizing time that makes me feel good, but also time that I do need, which is like my study time, which maybe doesn't make me feel good in the moment, but will definitely, I'll thank myself later.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
And I'm wondering as well, is this something that you had to learn the hard way or were always feeling on top of?
There's definitely moments where like I would wake up and maybe I hadn't written my newsletter to the best of its ability. I'm like, oh, I need to get that done. Mm. But I think a lot of it was being so excited about a job, I think makes you really determined to try and do it right. And I was so, and I still am so excited about working for Arcadia and how fun it is. So I think that it made me jump into the role and be like, I want to plan it all out and I want it all sorted and I want to do the best of my ability. And it actually really worked in my favor because now in my second semester, things are really well orchestrated in my life that it means that the job is just an extra bonus rather than a stress, which has been great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. That must be, sorry, did I just cut you off?
No, I was just going to say skills I don't think I had then when I was that age.
Yeah. Why? What was it like for you?
Oh, it was just very unorganized. Very unorganized, not very motivated. Mm-hmm. Did not have a job I liked.
Yeah.
I had a job, but did not. I liked the job, I didn't like the environment.
Yeah. I think
it
passion.
Sounds like that's the difference, right? Is you can feel the difference when you're doing a job that you don't feel passionate and drawn towards versus doing a job that inspires you and it's clear that you're inspired by the work that you're doing.
And did that change with time? Did the job change and that made your habits change or was it just?
I think as well, I was never a good studier. And so I think I was a very good procrastinator and then it was I've just got to do everything now because I've left it. Work-wise, I loved the job itself, but it wasn't a good working environment at Moanapool.
Name
dropped.
I'm sure it's changed. It's been a long time since I've been there.
Yeah, it's probably been some renos done.
Exactly.
New lease of life.
Team
I loved the work itself, but just the environment. Mm. So I think part of it was, one, getting out of that environment and not having kind of that split mindset of I've got work and I've got study and just being able to focus on work and having a much better work environment at Life Matters, but also enjoying the work that I do.
Yeah.
Because is this something that you see? I mean, I know what it's like. I was a uni student back in my time, 2 years ago. and I know that people approach study completely differently, yeah. right? And is this something that you see a lot? I don't know, people who are struggling to nail the balance. Because I can imagine also for these students, there's a lot of really good opportunities to go out and do trips and those kind of yeah. things. And I can imagine having that is, it's great, but it's also an extra thing.
Yeah. yeah. So what your question was like, what's the...
Yeah. Do you, I don't know, is this something that people are open about struggling with, is the balance of yeah. everything?
I think, yeah. I think that, you know, my personal experience being a student... balance is important and, yeah. you know, talking with peers and things, it is an incredibly important thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just broadly, I think having an international traveling experience, it's about having yeah. fun and experiencing new yeah. things. Mm. And I can only imagine how balance comes into that.
Yes, yeah.
trying to get your things done, trying to get stuff yeah. done. But I think that having the mindset of prioritizing your experience and how positive that is mm-hmm. is so important. Mm. And I think that does come with planning and does come with also not beating yourself up and not mm-hmm. being, oh, I really need to get this done or I should have done better on that. It's just taking kind of a pause and then moving on to something more positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's super important. And that's something that I've implemented in my life is keep moving on one step in front of the other. Things will get done. Mm-hmm. And I think that does create like a better, more positive environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. No, that's great. I mean, I think traveling is one thing. Traveling and studying yeah. at the same time is another whole
yeah.
ball game,
oh,
right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I mean, I know we've got a few other questions that we'd love to get into, but before we do so, we'll jump to a quick ad break from our sponsor.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03 455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Whether it's leg day, back day, wrist day, Anytime Fitness has your back.
Yeah.
Still working on the segues back in. I think that was perfect. Sweet.
Yeah.
It's normally.
I don't know if they're getting better. but I also don't know if they're getting worse.
I think. Because Anytime Fitness being a worldwide gym, yeah. I think nothing beats, it's the Mr. Worldwide of gyms, yeah. Anytime Fitness. Yeah. I think nothing beats that.
Yeah.
But I can also understand from a listener's perspective, you don't want to be hearing the same thing every time.
Yeah, well, yeah, we never know. Maybe next time that the podcast gets renewed, we might do some planning and do some things different. Who yeah. knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe we'll need to write down 12 different reintroductions you can do.
Yeah. Watch Sweet. The space, everybody.
Yeah.
But we are still here with Jess from Arcadia Abroad and very excited. Very excited. Yeah, to hear more. So, yeah, we've already talked a bit about study being a big time of change and transition mm-hmm. for the students coming here. But also a time for change and transition for yourself
yeah.
and, you know, recognizing I think you've done a lot with your communication about being open to reduce that stigma of, mm-hmm. of struggling.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how you engage with your own change while also supporting others in similar positions.
Yeah. It's definitely a really interesting position to be in when you're supporting people the same age or like stage of life as you. Like it's not just people who are, I'm 20, like it's not just people who are all 20-year-olds. It's 20-year-olds who are studying at the same university, who are studying in the same year group. It can be very interesting when you're going through transitions and changes whilst also supporting the people. Sometimes you feel a little bit inadequate. You're like, oh,
yeah, imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yeah, imposter syndrome. It's hard to be like, oh, I'm going to support you, but I'm also experiencing very similar thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
I think that how I deal with that is kind of giving myself different modes of helping myself. I'm a real omnivert. Like I'm super in the middle when it comes to being with people all the time and chatting and then also needing my alone time.
Mm.
And I think prioritizing that is super important when my role and my job is super people focused and chatting and making connections, having that break and that time away really helps. But it's also when it comes to supporting other people in that same environment, it's also once my kind of cup is filled and I feel like I've got that, it's coming into it with a sense of dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, you guys are a great people to be chatting with this with because outsourcing is super important, where it's like when I'm supporting people, I also know my breadth and my bandwidth and how I – there are – like I need to know when actually getting other people involved and supporting other people is important, or also when it's actually okay and I can just have a good chat with that person.
Nice.
And I think that's kind of surrounding any situation is knowing – if you're talking to a friend or someone else – knowing how to protect yourself but also protect the other person. I think that it's important to realize that and recognize that in yourself as not as a weakness but as a strength, and knowing when to outsource or when to step back or when that actually person, when someone might actually prefer to talk to someone else for something. And having that dignity means that that person can be well supported. And that's definitely something I've learned in the role but also just generally in my life.
Great.
Impressive.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, sometimes, you know, when I think a lot of us in the mahi that we do are natural helpers and want to help and fix. But sometimes it can be a going to the point where we can't keep sustaining ourselves. So I think, yeah, very impressive to know what your bandwidth is and your boundaries are.
I think everyone knows, like, the therapist friend.
Yeah.
And sometimes the therapist friend needs to step back. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like the therapist friend needs a break.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's actually better to be like that. And I think, you know, studying social work has definitely made me learn that because I think I'm definitely sometimes resultant to the I want to fix everything for everyone. And I've actually realized that outsourcing is your best friend, and realizing that is super important, but also realizing that you don't have all the answers, and sometimes trying to make up an answer will just dig you a hole and probably bring the person down with you. So it's about bringing the community together.
Nice.
How I'm curious how you find the skills that you're learning in social work applies to the job that you're doing.
I think social work in general is a degree. It really, you know, in the beginning, first couple of years, it's all a lot of theory. Like, it's really hard to imagine how you would apply it. Like, a lot of sociology and different things, learning about just people in general. But I think, you know, this year, it's a lot more kind of practical based of communication skills and how to communicate in that role. And I think that's definitely, I think that from having my job in Arcadia, it's actually been a real help. We have to do role plays and pretend to be a social worker. And having the confidence to go in there and chat to someone in that type of setting has actually been a huge, like, help from having my job. It's because I've learned how to, you know, I do have to sometimes get on the mic and talk to all my students or do a bit of public speaking, but also have one-on-one chats. And I think it's really helped actually in the opposite direction of I've actually learned a lot from the job that I can bring those natural kind of, you know, I feel like social work, there's a huge amount of theory, but there is just as much just general people skills. And I feel like those are things that are drawn on experience. So it's actually been a huge help.
Oh, amazing. That's great.
And I think too, you've talked about recognizing when your boundaries are. Sometimes recognizing and communicating those are two separate, separate issues. And I'm wondering what communication skills do you feel like you have learned and able to implement to... Because sometimes boundary setting can feel mean. I'm wondering what communication skills you've learned that you can maintain your boundaries of kind of time and scope and what you can do while still maintaining a relationship.
I think keeping it light. I think nothing, things don't need to be super serious. And I think definitely that was something that was always in my mind about, you know, boundary making of these are people that I, like all these people that I work with, but also just, you know, even friends, everyone. These are people that I want to be close with. And I'm very much like a people person. I want to be around these people. But it's also understanding that boundaries are super important in your life. So I think that keeping it light, you know, communicating with students. I am a staff member at the end of the day. There are things that I need to keep boundaries for to keep the safety of everyone. And that's super important. And it keeps relationships good and happy and healthy. And it's about keeping it light and lighthearted. You know, these are people that are the same age as me. They're very intelligent individuals. And it's about just communicating like, oh, hey, you know what it's like. This is my job. Like that's all good, and keeping it lighthearted in a very chatty conversation I think doesn't shut down someone. I think that is something that I've learned from like personal interactions but also interactions here is making it a very serious deep conversation just makes people feel shut off. Mm. And when you want people to come to you in times of struggle, you don't want people to feel like they can't talk to you or I'm talking to a staff member. It feels very clinical when it's a very lighthearted and very warm atmosphere to work in. So I think, keeping it lighthearted and keeping those conversations lighthearted until they need to be a more structured conversation.
Yeah.
I've really come from like the benefit of the doubt angle of I will get like, unless I do feel like boundaries need to be set more firmly, keeping them open. And that's what I've learned from previous jobs as well, is just having that initial attitude of welcomeness and happiness and being like, okay, this is my boundaries. That's all good. That's a very brief conversation.
Yeah.
Then reinforcing them. That's kind of been the tactic I've taken.
Nice.
Great. And do you find that they're generally well received?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, fully. I think that it is, I find with my role, it's a very like, I am with the, like I'm on the exact same level as the students.
Yeah.
Because we're all experiencing life at a very similar angle. And I'm just like their eyes and ears of a New Zealand perspective.
Yeah.
And I really take that as I'm on the same level as you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm here to chat and make you feel safe in this new, crazy, cool country.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my role. And that has really been taken very, very extremely well. All the people I've worked with are incredibly kind, like compassionate, very understanding individuals. So it's made my job incredibly easy because they are amazing. So,
Yeah. Good. And I ask that because I know that boundary setting is something we talk about a lot in our work and is something that, I don't know, people take different approaches. I think a lot of people may be hesitant to set boundaries in a way that is really light and fluffy because of past experiences and stuff like that. And I think it just reaffirms that it is possible to set boundaries and still maintain relationships with people.
Oh, fully. And it definitely is the setting that you're in. What job role you're in, the context of who you're working with. I think that's definitely, you know, studying social work, the jobs that I'm going to be in are going to be a lot more heavy just in context and understanding. And that's when boundaries are probably going to be set a lot more firmly than an abroad experience.
Yeah.
And I think that that is something to notice. And it's also understanding how you mentally feel. I feel very comfortable with my boundaries and how they get set, but also I'm very, you know, I'm comfortable with that. And also say if an experience, like I also very much encourage people to set boundaries, even if they do feel extreme, because they are your boundaries for a reason. And that shouldn't stop you from setting them in a more firmer way if it feels more comfortable.
Yeah, cool. I'm curious, outside, you know, you've got your boundaries, you've got your me time.
Yeah.
How do you look after yourself while doing this work that can be super all over the place and requires a lot of travel and time? And how do you look after yourself?
Yeah. Well, in the actual, like when I'm doing like often traveling and doing those things, a lot of it is just getting sleep and like getting rest. I go back to like my hotel room and I just like relax and take a moment and just like rot.
Nice.
But when I'm actually like home and with people, you know, I'm in a flat, I'm in a university flat in Otago. You can imagine it's quite like a lot's going on just even in my home life. But it's really about making intentional time for myself and intentional time with my friends. I think that a lot of times like your you time can just feel like a mundane, regular thing because it just kind of happens. But I love doing yoga and Pilates.
Nice.
That's like my favorite thing. I really got into that last year. So that feels very intentional because like I sign up for a class and I attend it and like I can't look at my phone for 45 minutes and I have to be there. And then with friends, it's like organizing to go for a walk or organizing to go have coffee. And it feels like a very intentional time to decompress. Because sometimes it can feel like, oh, let's catch up for lunch at uni and like chat and catch up. And that's amazing. But having like those intentional moments is also super important. So that's really how I fill my cup.
And kind of adds into that structure you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
If they can be planned.
Yeah. Can you tell that I'm a bit like type A?
Whenever make things work. Because something I'm on the travel, as you said, it takes you across the motu, across the country.
Yeah.
What sort of experiences do you do?
Yeah. So we do super fun ones. It's actually like so fun. So we go up to Auckland and we do a bit of like Auckland sightseeing and then we go down to Rotorua. We do zorbing, kind of do we do the Mitai Māori village experience, which I would have never done. Just as like a New Zealander, I think people don't think, you know, especially growing up in high school with lots of cultural experiences within that kind of experience in itself. I would have never thought to go, but it's a family who runs kind of a Māori village or like experience where you see a haka and Māori like dance, kapa haka, and you have a hāngi and then they go down on a waka on like a river. It's this whole thing. It is really, really cool. It's one of the students and my favourite parts of like the whole trip. It's insane. Especially like literally they just landed in New Zealand and they get this amazing cultural experience. We also do like a lot of education about like Māori culture, but also just culture in New Zealand in general, which I think is an amazing kind of base to coming on. And we have a Queenstown experience. So we do the root burn, which was super, super cool. So we do like the first day of the root burn track. And we do like the luge. So yeah, lots of cool experiences. And then ones in Dunedin, like we go see the Highlanders and things like that, which is really fun.
In the zoo?
Yes.
Wow.
In the zoo.
Talk about cultural experiences.
I know. It was in the zoo, which was super cool. That was like a couple of weeks ago. They did lose very badly.
Yeah. I can imagine Dunedin's like, it can be a culture shock.
Yes. As,
again, city to city, but also like if Dunedin is your first proper experience of New Zealand, it could be quite an interesting experience.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a really interesting one, I think, like coming to Dunedin, you know, for me personally. I think there's a lot of, it's really interesting coming from the perspective, I think, as a New Zealander, you have a lot of expectations of what Dunedin's going to be like because you hear about it.
Yeah.
But coming in fresh, where a lot of people don't know a whole lot about New Zealand, let alone Otago University. But I think it's a really cool one. It's definitely a lot of comparing and contrasting. I love hearing the different views and opinions and experiences. But I think it's actually a really cool, it's the most popular. Like,
is it cool?
Yeah, we would find it like for the university just because of how close it is to Queenstown, the accessibility to the hikes and the amazing nature, which actually made me reflect and go, I should really be accessing this too. The amount of adventures and cool things that people traveling here do, I'm like, I need to get into this too.
Wildlife capital of New Zealand.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, we need to be experiencing it.
Yeah.
But I also think it's a cool one because the community here is so like pre-established that actually I think it's an amazing place to travel to and experience because so many people from across the country come here. So you're really getting a taste of like New Zealand university culture, which I mean, what time in your life will you get to experience that?
So yeah,
that's
true. Cool. Very true. Do you think it alters some of the students or some potentially some of their families' view of New Zealand in terms of Dunedin being this huge place?
Yeah, well, I guess I think so. I don't actually know. I think it's definitely, I think what I found is like our universities are so big that it's actually definitely intriguing because our universities, because we're such a small country, we can't have these small universities. We have these huge ones that are like quite well established and like this is, you know, Otago's the oldest university, so there's a lot of like history and heritage that maybe they might be surprised about.
New Zealand's Harvard.
Exactly, guys. But yeah, I think there's definitely a new, like, it definitely is an interesting environment because it's so like, even for me, it's like a very well-established, huge university. When you think of New Zealand, you don't think of stuff like that, especially probably as an international student. Don't think of these like big kind of entities that are like really well established and have this kind of culture. But yeah, definitely a very new, fresh experience.
The reason I asked him because I worked at summer camp twice in the States. It's actually my partner there as well. But Dunedin is that place's sister city. So yeah, worked at Toyon Bay, which is on Catalina Island just off the coast of LA. And it all started with a family friend of mine was the first New Zealander to go, who then brought another family friend, who then brought another friend and ended up meeting other people. So I think like 98% of the people, the 98% of the New Zealanders that have been to that camp are from Dunedin. So I was talking to my boss. He's like, yeah, Dunedin's is so huge. I really want to go. I'm like, well, it's not huge.
It's definitely that like 2 degrees of separation. I think like that's definitely something that I kind of only realized from working this job is like this is a huge university. But I also just know through people a huge section of it, which is crazy because I think you forget that as a country we're tiny. So when there's these big kind of areas, you just have these like very random niche connections to people. Even if you've never met them, you're like, oh, do you know, where are you from? Oh, I'm from Wellington. Oh, do you know this person? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. It's that whole experience, which I think is very bizarre and new for countries that are so huge.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there is a lot of different parts of your job. It takes you around a lot of places with a lot of different experiences. I'm wondering, what about this job do you find fulfilling, exciting, or beneficial to your mental health?
Yeah, well, I think the social connection is great. Meeting people from a different country has been a great experience. Obviously, I've met people from other countries who have travelled to New Zealand or come here, but on this scale, it's definitely different.
Yeah.
Like having a huge like classroom size of students all from different places in the US has been a great, crazy experience. I think it's definitely given me a new perspective on like my positivity and mindset on things. Everything for my students is awesome. It's all awesome. And I'm like, this is great. And I love it. And like that positive, you know, we've talked about tall poppy syndrome. And I think I can really feel like a sense of like lifting each other up in their attitude. And that has been a really cool experience. I think for my own mental health, it's really filled my cup to like broaden my horizons. I feel like you kind of, especially in Dunedin, there's you're in the student bubble. I feel like everywhere you turn, it's
only
like
that side of Dunedin exists.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like there's only about five streets that everyone lives on. And you're like, okay, great. And you kind of like, you get find comfort in the bubble, but then you realize, whoa, there's this whole other world and life that people live and experience. And that's really made me feel super like invigorated, I guess. I think also just generally seeing New Zealand from a tourist angle has made me so incredibly grateful. I think especially in this type of like climate of the world right now, it makes me feel very grateful that I live in a country that's so that people are so excited and keen to come to and experience and get to know. And I think experiencing those touristy things has made me go, I totally get why they're touristy because they're so fun. It actually makes me feel so grateful to be in a country where these things are here. And it's actually given me the itch to like experience and be so like excited for those types of things. Because I feel like you get a little bit like, okay, that's a cool view. Great. And then you actually go, wait, if I think about it further, this is actually such a cool experience. And I should be way more positive about this. And so yeah, it's definitely
amazing.
On my mental health,
I find even simple things. Like I know when I've gone overseas and come back, even the hill coming from, like over the hill, over Stuart Street, and you get that view of the harbour. I never appreciate that until I've gone overseas, and that the first few months of me coming back, I'm going, actually, that's a really cool view.
It's just like that feeling of home. And I think, it's definitely made me feel really grateful, and it makes you kind of go, oh, I should reflect on that and be like a tourist in my own city. And it does make you feel so much more grateful and better for your mundane day-to-day, how actually fun and novel it is, like when you look at it from a different angle.
That's true. And it's cool to be able to explore Dunedin as a city, and I mean even Otago more broadly and New Zealand more broadly, because I know that a lot of students, that Dunedin is down by the university, it is the streets that surround the university, so being able to actually experience what's beyond that, I can imagine.
And even
is
when
cool
like I chat
you.
To my friends, it's like, you know, once you like graduate, it's like you're out. Like you're like, okay, I've experienced Dunedin, goodbye. But then I remember me and my friends like exploring Dunedin, like, huh, we actually like get why people would live here. Like it's actually quite nice.
You mean
like,
these beaches down there.
Like, it's actually like things to experience. So I think it's really broadened my, like opened my eyes to what was already there.
Awesome. Amazing. Cool. We've got a last few questions that we will touch on, but before we do so, we'll go back to our sponsor again.
Anytime Fitness Dunedin is here to raise the self-esteem of the world. Whether you're new to fitness or getting back into a routine, now's the time to put yourself first. With a supportive community, three local clubs, flexible membership options and access anytime, we're here to help you reach your goals. Get in touch with our friendly team today. Call 03455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Woo-wee! I'm sweating after my workout at Anytime Fitness.
That was quick.
it was quick. I did a...
It's just down the road, isn't it?
I did a... Well, it depends which one you want to go to. Mm. Anytime Fitness is so accessible with their three locations in Dunedin.
Oh, there we go.
I did a 30-second sprint on the treadmill and I ran 8K.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Congrats.
That's also, just that's then.
Great. Probably a new record.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
I'm called Omsane Bolt.
Okay, Omri. Oh my God. Anyway.
But yeah, What a great time. And I thank you so much, Jess, for coming along
and sharing
about one Arcadia and two the cool things that you do with Arcadia, but how you manage and find balance in your life.
Thank you
I imagine
so
at
much.
Times it's not easy at all.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Great.
No worries.
Well, before we go, we will ask you our final five. These are some quick-ish five questions that we ask every guest that comes onto the podcast. Cue maybe an introduction that somebody wants us to add in here, but wait, you have to wait till next season to actually get a proper introduction.
Yeah.
Anyways, what does well-being mean to you?
Ooh, okay, how quick are these questions? I'll try and keep them speedy. Well-being means to me, it means peace, it means laughter, and it means community. I think those are the three words that I feel like sums up well-being to me.
Very cool. Is there, sorry, you've thrown me off, Anna, jumping in with that one.
Oh, yeah, apologies. It's only my actually, so the way we divide up these questions is that they're in either black or purple, and Omri's purple, and I just asked a purple question.
So keen. You were just so keen to jump in.
I know, right?
But I'm a switch-up is good. I can deal with change and routine.
He's not going to go home and cry about it.
No.
Is there anything that you do that brings you a sense of calm, balance, or peace?
Oh, well, as I mentioned, I feel like my yoga and my Pilates has been really good. Mm-hmm. Having a deep breath, that's been amazing. I think, those are the two main things. I feel like I instantly feel 10 times calmer. Mm. Also, just like a walk around along like the waterfront had always like made me feel so calm. Water in general, going for a swim.
Blue spaces, they're brilliant.
Yep.
That's me.
Omri mentions this every single time.
Every pod.
No, it's great. It's like water's my thing. Like just so much calmer.
Are you more down by the harbour or like the beaches?
Oh, I used to, I did 75 hard last year.
Wow.
Which was quite intense. So I was spending a lot of time at the harbour doing my 45-minute walk.
Gosh. Yeah.
But I think that like the waterfront's definitely good. Like me and my friends always do like morning walks there.
Yeah.
But I mean, the beach is hard to beat when you're like with your friends, sunset.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty killer. So yeah, definitely that.
Do you have a favourite Dunedin beach?
Oh, I'm really bad. Like I only go to like St. Clair.
Yeah.
But because, you know. Yeah. Just accessibility, how easy it is. And I mean, compared to Wellington beaches, it's like insane how it's just like straight horizon and like really pretty.
Ooh,
so I still am like very new to that.
I mean, St. Clair is like the Gold Coast of Dunedin.
Mm.
It is the spot.
It is the spot. I probably knew it. Explore some more.
The spot aesthetically.
Yeah.
I'm a Kilda boy.
Oh, there
we go.
We each have our like own spot.
Yeah.
If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
Oh, that's a really good question. I didn't even think of that. What's one rule? What would it be? Oh, I know. Oh, do I? I don't know. I'm trying to think of like one that's like, I think everyone should dance in public. This is my thing. Okay, I've always wanted to see a flash mob. My friends give me so much flack for it because I've always wanted to experience a flash mob. And I think if everyone just like had no shame in dancing in public, it would just like make me so much happier.
Yes.
I mean, we know a face or two through our work, people that get support at our work that love a dance on the street.
Yeah.
And it does make you 10 times happier seeing it.
Exactly. And I think there should be no embarrassment. Like in Wellington, they have this thing called Garden Magic, which is like, At the Botanic Gardens, they have like this like music, live music, and it's for free. And people get up and dance, and me and my friends get up and dance, and everyone's 10 times happier when they're dancing. And all people sitting and watching, I think they're 10% less happy. So I'm just putting it out there. Yeah. I think everyone should dance in public.
Big time. What would you tell your younger self now?
Oh, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
I was a very uptight child. I was stressed about everything. Everything needed to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I think I just needed to let it go.
Mm.
That's my, like,
needed to get up and dance.
Yeah, I needed to get up and dance in public and not be embarrassed.
Yeah.
That was the thing, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the next question is not a question. It's asking you to leave a question for the next guest.
Okay. Oh, well, I've been thinking about this.
Okay.
I love a would you rather question.
Right.
So I used to just announce them. We loved making them on our trip. So I thought it would only be right if I did one. And this is my classic one that I tell all my friends. Would you rather have your knees be the size of your head or your head the size of your knees?
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
I think that's one that everyone
should
ponder on.
The size of my kneecap?
Yes. Like, if you, like your kneecap, so a tiny head or massive knees, that's kind of the question.
Oh, gosh. Do you have an answer?
Okay, these are kind of the theories that people have. Head, very noticeable if it's tiny, it's like this small.
I have a friend with a tiny head and we let them know all the time.
Yeah. Like even people, like I feel like even people are like, oh, I've got a tiny head, or like, oh, I've got a massive head. I can't fit hats. Like it's kind of a conversation that happens a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people go flowy jeans, a skirt maybe to cover the massive knees.
Yeah.
So I feel like practicality wise, a lot of people go for the massive knees. But it also is like just a very, when you think of huge knees, I think it's a lot more jarring than the small head. Mm. I don't know. But then when you think of like the size of your kneecap, it's quite tiny. It's dependent on the person, it's quite small.
Yeah.
I love a would you rather. It really,
they're very fun.
It really gets into it.
I think you're right. I think it'd be really noticeable. Is my neck the same thickness?
Yeah, I guess it would just kind of, I don't really know.
I think
know
I would probably have to go head size knees.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I'm going to go
imagine
against
on Bruce's face on his little knees.
I probably am going to go home and draw a face on my knees now.
Just to visualize.
Just to really visualize it. Because fun fact, I can't visualize things.
Oh, you're one of those people.
I'm one of those.
You're one of those.
You could do is you could take a photo of your knee and you could Photoshop your face on it and see what it looks like.
Yeah, and that will be the thumbnail of this podcast.
I'm so curious what you've been thinking. Like, you just haven't been thinking about it, I guess. Like, when I say that, is it just kind of like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking in your head?
I'm trying to look at my knee and going, okay, what would that look like? It's the sort of thing where you say picture an apple and I go, oh, well, I know what an apple looks like.
Yeah.
But I don't see an apple.
Yeah. It's just kind of the knowledge of I've seen an apple before.
Yeah. And I've seen my knee before and I can try and draw my face on it or draw a face. But I like the idea of Photoshopping my
face.
Yeah,
it might be the best bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we'll get social media clearance to add a slide of your face on a knee.
I think we should all do it.
I don't want to get anyone's hopes up that when this podcast comes out, there will be this on the internet. But they might get lucky.
Mm. Yeah.
They might get lucky. They might get to see some good Photoshop skills. But we'll leave that up to the social media Life Matters gods.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we've had a would you rather question yet, have we?
No, we haven't, but I like it.
I'm very, very intrigued what the next guest is going to say.
Yeah, so am I.
Yeah.
You have to watch the space.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll find out in a month.
But yeah, thank you so much, Jess. Before we wrap up, do you have any final thoughts or messages that you'd like to share to someone who might be struggling?
Ah, good question. I think for anyone struggling, I hope you're doing okay and we're with you and we're thinking of you. But I also think that I don't know what I'd give advice. Oh, this is a great piece of advice that my counselor actually gave me, and it's let the pendulum swing. Mm. She said that to me. And I guess to me that means that one thing that you drop or let happen things will come into fruition. So one hard thing may let a lot of great things happen from it. I feel like sometimes when I struggle in times of struggle, it's hard to get that initial thing to push you out into maybe a better space.
Mm.
And I think just working hard to that one goal may let everything fall into place and keeping that hope.
I like that.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Really cool.
Cool. Well, that wraps up another fortnight of the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know, by the time listeners are listening to this, Easter's over, but I hope everyone's had a good Easter.
Mm.
We've got a long weekend for the first time in however knows how long, I can't wait.
We work Tuesday to Saturday. We do, but the service is open Tuesday to Sunday, so we often miss out on the public holidays that fall on a Monday.
Wow, so this is a lucky moment.
This is the first time probably since Christmas, so we're looking forward to it.
Exciting times.
Yeah, thank you again, Jess, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was a good chat.
No worries. Right. Thank you, Omri, for hosting once again.
Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you to ORFM, to Life Matters, Suicide Prevention Trust, to Anytime Fitness for sponsoring this podcast. If you have any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to admin@lifematters.org.nz. See you later.
Ka kite.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page.
You can also contact us through our website. Just look up lifematters.org.nz. You can also drop in to see us at 63 Hanover Street. We are open every day except Mondays. From Wednesday to Sunday, we are open until 9 p.m. If you need support outside of these hours, free call or text 1737. If you would like to listen again or hear other episodes, go to or.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.